This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
The Commanders seem to have a bright future. It is time for you to plan yours as well. The exclusive sponsor of our show is the law firm Kondorian Murad. They're going to help you update your last will and testament, set up a trust for you and your family, schedule a free consultation with their estate planning attorneys today. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them we sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. You'll get a discount if you tell them we sent you. Remember, Friday we're going to be broadcasting live from the Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria on Mandeville Lane. Stop by. They've got 15 taps, a dozen TVs, plus great food, wings, pizza. A Friday, 2 to 6:30, we're live. Atlas Brew Works in Alexandria. For more information, go to thefandc.com. It is time to spin you around the NFC East. And we start on the Cowboys with Donovan Lewis, middays 96.7, the ticket. Dallas sitting now at 2-2 in the NFC East after they beat the Giants in primetime. But Donovan, that was kind of a hold-your-nose win against New York, wasn't it?
Boy, I don't think I've heard it described like that. But yes, I think you're right. It is a hold-your-nose, just trying to survive against a bad team. And you needed that win. Leading up to it, we all said it was a must-win 4 weeks into the season, and that's exactly what it was, and that's exactly what they had to go get. So while it wasn't pretty, it was definitely needed, and now we got to see if they can sustain some type of defensive stand against the run like they showed against the Giants.
So Donovan, it looks like they're a little bit beat up now. Give us some injury updates.
Well, DeMarcus Lawrence was placed on IR, so he'll be out at least 4 weeks, but they expect that to be a lot longer than 4 weeks. Micah, they're still listing as doubtful, but I just don't think he's going to play. He looked really hobbled when he got off the bus on that Thursday night coming back from New York. So everyone's expecting him to miss at least Pittsburgh and maybe Detroit. And if he does, then yes, this defense is going to be hobbled without their top two pass rushers. And everyone thought that the strength of this team was the pass rush on defense. And now you've lost the two guys that can get to the quarterback. So it's going to be a struggle on Sunday night against Pittsburgh.
Yeah, I saw you guys sign K.J. Henry, former Commander they drafted out of Clemson in the fifth round off of a practice squad. So
finally signed a Henry. It wasn't Derek, but it was
the exact Henry. Right Henry is here.
Probably not the Henry right. You guys wanted. What do you think about the matchup, just personnel-wise, the way the Steelers want to play, the way Dallas plays, and how that lays out? Sunday night football this weekend.
Yeah, you know, it's funny because Justin Fields is probably the most dangerous runner that they have. I know they had some injuries to Warren and Harris. I don't know their availability. But if you keep Justin Fields in the pocket, then I think you have a chance, which may do a little – it sounds weird, but if you're not just totally able to rush the passer, maybe he sits back in the pocket, and that's maybe your best chance to win it. So as long as he doesn't get outside and can use his legs, I seriously think the Cowboys can have a chance in that game. But if he gets outside, with their inability to stop the run, you know, the couple weeks before. It seemed like they fixed it against the Giants, but I don't think the Giants have anyone like Justin Fields who's able to get outside and run. Even Daniel Jones can't do that. So they still have their issues with that. So I think the strategy is to try to keep him in the pocket and make him use his arm. If they can do that, then I think they'll be able to survive defensively. Now, on the other side, man, that Pittsburgh defense is really good. And the Cowboys offense, even in their wins, they just haven't been that impressive. So unless they can run the football, which they haven't shown the ability to do that, and they can get someone else involved other than CeeDee Lamb to kind of loosen it up, I think they're going to have their issues scoring the football against Pittsburgh this week. So it should be an interesting matchup.
Donovan, where's the Dak Prescott approval rating? I'm thinking of like those old school applause meters where the guys are going up and down from a 0 to 100. Where are we at?
Man, that is a great question. It is one of those, like, it seems like everyone in Dallas has a lower approval rating because they just have seen so many years of him not being able to get it done when it matters the most. But overall, and you know, in the NFL, he's a really good quarterback, and you got to have a guy like that in order to try and get to the place where you haven't been. So it's one of those, I don't want to evade the question, but I guess it's about maybe 60-65% approval rating. But man, I think sometimes that goes even lower than halfway when you ask Cowboy fans around here.
Is there a thought that they're good?
No. It's not. They're going to have to show – seriously, they're going to have to prove it to their fan base and probably prove it to themselves that they're good. Now, the only asterisk you can put on it is the fact that it doesn't appear that the NFC East, anyone's going to run away. Like, Washington's been really good, but can they sustain it? And Philadelphia is what Philadelphia is, and they feel like that they're going to be up and down also. So it doesn't feel like you need to have an 11, 12, 13-win year to win the NFC East. So even if you're at 9-10 wins, that may get you the opportunity to make the playoffs, and, you know, anything goes when it comes to the playoffs. So I think that's the only saving grace to what everyone feels is just pretty much an average team.
Well, remember, the Commanders don't punt, so.
Right, exactly right. They can use that roster spot for someone else, so they don't use that. So, yeah, no, it's interesting to see if they're if they can sustain this, and what they're doing right now with Cliff Kingsbury and that offense is how it's going to be. Whew, boy, that's something I don't think anyone expected this year. So it feels like if that's the case, then the Cowboys got to step it up. And now they have their roughest part of the schedule right in front of them right now. So it gets interesting. Everyone thought maybe they'll be 2-2. Going into this week against Pittsburgh, but then it's Detroit, then it's San Francisco, then it's Atlanta, then it's Houston, then it's Philadelphia. This is a gauntlet for the Cowboys to try to prove themselves.
Donovan, thank you as always, man. Have a great week.
My pleasure.
See you, buddy. Darius, hit that Eagles sounder, please. Tom Kelly on WIP, kind enough to join us to talk about Philadelphia. Tom, give me kind of a system check here. Is it glass half full? I know that's funny talking about Philly fans, but is glass half full because they're in it without some of their best players, or is the sky is falling, cancel the rest of the season?
Yeah, it's more of the latter after that game on Sunday. I mean, a terrible performance from the defense. We knew the defense wasn't going to be that good, but the real concerning thing, guys, is Jalen Hurts. I mean, the turnovers, 7 turnovers now in 4 games for him to start the year. He just is not protecting the football, and we know with the Eagles, they're built around the offense. If they're not going to score a ton of points, they're not going to win a lot of games. And even without the injuries, I mean, Jalen can't be turning the ball over. That's the big concern here right now.
So I'm trying not to beat up on Hurts that much because he's got no weapons right now either. I mean, Jahan Dotson was starting and is not getting targets or catches. You don't have the wide receivers. It's Barkley and pray for rain, basically. Having said that, I mean, there's basically been one year that's not like the others for Jalen Hurts when you really look at it. It's that MVP caliber year where Philly got to the Super Bowl. Everything else has been very different, and it feels like that's just the outlier. Is that overstated?
No, it's not. And I think there's an extra, I guess, sense of anxiety for Eagles fans coming off the Carson situation. I mean, you guys had Carson down there, and it was very similar trajectory, where his second year was so incredible, he never reached those heights again. And you don't want to immediately kind of make that comparison, but with what we saw from Carson Wentz and what we're seeing now from Jalen, them having the same kind of problems, it's hard to not let that thought enter your mind.
Tom, let's just come to an agreement that we just won't mention Carson Wentz for both of our benefits anymore. Like, just for fun. Like, just never say his name again. No, all good. You mentioned the defense. I thought this group would be a little bit better. I didn't think good by any stretch of the imagination, and they certainly had their moments. I didn't think it'd be back to that, like, 80 sack as a team thing they did a couple of seasons ago, but I thought they'd be better than last year. How disappointing has it been? Where's room for improvement? Give me kind of state of the union there.
Yeah, it's been really disappointing. I mean, the big signing on defense was Bryce Huff from the Jets. They gave him 3 years, $51 million, 17 per year. And he has, I think, one tackle in four games, hasn't had a quarterback hit, hasn't had a sack. And, I mean, that's a huge issue considering you traded Hassan Reddick, and we know his situation right now. But, yeah, they're not getting enough pressure off the edge. And unless that changes, it's hard to see this defense really improving in a significant way.
An early bye in week five is normally a bummer, just stinks, right? But the way it lays out here with how banged up they are might actually be perfect to regroup, come out of the bye. They've got the Browns, the Giants. We'll see what the Bengals are at that point, but I know the Jaguars are soon thereafter. Is this working out potentially about as well as it could for them right now at 2-2?
Yeah, and I think that's kind of the hope, is we all thought it would be the early bye, but considering the injury situation, you hope after the bye you get A.J. Brown back, you get Devontae Smith back, and you're in a much better spot. So that's kind of the thinking at this point, is this bye, even though it didn't seem like it was coming at a great time before the season, it certainly seems like it is now.
You got to go to the betting window this afternoon. Would you bet on or against the Eagles winning this division this year?
Honestly, right now I'd probably bet against. I mean, we thought before the year it would be a two-horse race between the Eagles and the Cowboys. And if that were the case, I'd still feel pretty confident. But with what we've seen from your guy, Jaden Daniels, down there, that is a scary element added to this division now with Washington.
So that means right now you would expect Washington to win the division?
Right now, that would be my pick, yeah. I mean, I've been incredibly impressed by what Jaden Daniels has done. That offense is playing at a really high level. I think Dan Quinn's done a really good job kind of setting the culture there. And right now, I think considering the way these other teams have played, Dallas and the Eagles, I think Washington's got to be the favorite.
So as you look at what's coming out of this bye week here, Cleveland, Giants, Bengals, Jaguars, maybe not what you thought before the season. Not I don't mean you, Tom, but like someone like me that thought Cleveland would be pretty good, Cincinnati would be Super Bowl contender. The Jaguars are winless. The Giants are pretty terrible, I still think. So I think all of a sudden, post-bye week, if guys are healthy, we could have a totally different narrative here as they head to that Week 10 tilt at Dallas. Is that something that's on your mind in terms of this opportunity coming out of that bye week?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's something that if you're looking at the positive side of it, that's why you'd be positive, is this schedule coming out of the bye. But, I mean, they got to go at least 3-1 in the next four games here, because you go 2-2, you're 4-4, then you have a difficult part of the schedule where you go to Dallas and a few of those divisional games that are tougher than they seem before the year. So, yeah, I think the Eagles really need to come out of this bye on fire and at least win three out of these next four.
Tom, thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
we
Tom.
Appreciate you.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate
it. Yeah, be good. Let's talk about the club pulling up the rear right now. And that's a team that is doing so despite looking better the last couple of weeks. The New York Giants. Ryan Dunleavy joins us as we blitz the East on Grant and Danny, the New York Post. Ryan, they beat Cleveland after narrowly missing out on a chance to beat Washington down a kicker. Then they've got the Cowboys in primetime, had a golden chance to win but didn't. What's the temperature on the 1-3 Giants as they get ready for the Seahawks?
They're not terrible, right? I mean, they're not terrible. Temperature is like, if that makes sense. The Giants are.
Yeah. We're familiar with
We know down here, Ryan.
For a long time.
Yeah, the Giants are not as terrible as some people thought, including myself, coming into the season. But they're certainly not anywhere near a playoff caliber team. It just looks like a team that's going to sputter along to, 6-5 win season. And that'll turn up the pressure on Brian Daboll. It'll turn up the pressure on Joe Shane as you get there and you see how it looks like. I mean, they're not scoring, which is driving the fans crazy, driving people inside the building crazy, because the big thing after last year was to find a way to up the points, and they're averaging 15 points a game and just kicked 5 field goals on the Cowboys. And they could tell you all they want that it's about red zone struggles, but when you're kicking a 50-yard field goal, you aren't exactly in the red zone.
So, Ryan, this is probably a tough question to answer, and I'm sure it's hard to quantify, but I got a buddy who's a Giants fan who texted me something along the lines of what you just said, and he's livid. He's furious, and I can relate to this as a longtime Washington fan. He's like, we're not terrible enough to be terrible so that no one can hide and everybody gets let go and they stop pretending Daniel Jones is the thing, but they're also not good enough to be good. They're in the worst possible place where everybody can excuse things away and have things like you just said. They go, it's red zone struggles, and maybe convince ownership that they deserve more shots at this thing. I wonder, A, how common is that sentiment, and B, your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's where they've been for 5 years, right? They've been picking 6th or 10th or 4th or 12th. They're in that no man's land where they can't break through and become a competitive team, and they, you know, aren't picking number one, or the year they had the number two pick, they used it on Saquon Barkley, so who's no longer here, obviously. So, no, I mean, they are kind of in no man's land. I mean, they obviously wanted to replace Daniel Jones this past offseason, preferably with Jaden Daniels or Drake May, and they weren't able to trade up and get him. And Malik Nabers looks phenomenal, but who's going to be throwing him the ball in the long term? It's not going to be Daniel Jones. So, and this doesn't look like a quarterback deep draft. So they're going to have a big question at the most important position going into next season, and that's not where anybody wants to be in the fourth year of a regime.
You mentioned Malik Nabers. I just don't think a wide receiver can win the Rookie of the Year award over a good quarterback. We saw last year with Puka Nacua breaking records and still losing out C.J. Stroud, who was amazing for a rookie, but just kind of pretty good statistically for a quarterback normally, when Nacua had 100 catches and 1,500 yards and still didn't win it. So Nabers might be the biggest threat to Daniels, but I can't see him beating Daniels out if Daniels plays at this level. But how about 10 for 127 against Washington, 12 for 115 against the Cowboys? He had 2 touchdowns against the Browns. I mean, he's been ridiculous. He's on pace for 1 catch shy of the NFL record right now.
Yeah, something like over 200 targets, too. He's in the concussion protocol right now, so we don't know if he'll be able to play on this Sunday, and that's really the only thing that's going to slow him down, honestly, is a potential injury. He's tremendous in every regard, the separation, the leaping ability, his hands, I mean, every regard has been tremendous. And you're right, I don't know that a receiver can beat a quarterback if they both play well. I think in a year where all the quarterbacks were average or whatnot, it could happen. But, I mean, what Jaden Daniels is doing is incredible, and I think it probably Brian Daboll's best case to make to ownership or the fans is like, hey, the whole world saw on Hard Knocks, I loved this guy. So, like, let me find my next Jaden Daniels.
Ryan, really appreciate the time, man. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, be good. That's Ryan Dunleavy, covers the Giants for the New York Post. And that is how we blitz the East. If you're keeping score at home, the Cowboys guest told us he doesn't think Dallas is good. And the Eagles guest said, I don't think they're going to win the division, and I think Washington's going to. Just so we're
just
all on the same
page. Just information. That's all that's happening.
Those are the two teams that are supposed to be very, very good. All right. The phone lines have been hot, so we'll open them back up at 800-636-1067. People wanted to talk about the biggest story in town, Jaden Daniels, and the hype train here this week. The national media is all the way in on him and this offense, and they have just kind of decided that the Commanders are a wagon, that this is a juggernaut, that this is what it's going to be after a couple of really, really impressive games and 9 days of great football, basically. Are we reacting too much too soon? Are we getting overly excited? Or is this the correct amount of attention based on how they've been playing and what lies ahead? We're Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals of the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.
We got a long way to go, but the odds, you know, Caleb was like plus 150 to win Rookie of the Year. This guy was like 5-1. I mean, he's got a lot of momentum right now if he keeps this up. I mean, look at the division. Cowboys in shambles, bunch of injuries. Eagles look like trash. We know the Giants aren't going to win many games. Maybe you were right. Maybe this is a playoff team. Not even a playoff team. I mean, could they win the division? Long way to go, but it's not crazy.
Well, I absolutely right now would take Jalen Daniels over any other quarterback in that division, and I know there are a lot of veteran quarterbacks. Dak, Jalen Hurts.
Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now. I'm going to repeat again. Jaden Daniels is the best quarterback in the NFC right now.
I love it. People won't say it because he's a rookie.
80% of his passes.
Who's playing better than Jaden Daniels in the NFC right now?
That's why I said it looks like the Commanders have hit the jackpot at the quarterback draft.
Feeling good. Looks like we got ourselves a quarterback in Washington, D.C. My question, though, is it a little bit much from the national media? Like, you guys realize this is possibly not helpful to the cause, right? Is it too much too soon? 800-636-1067. Daniels has been great. The Commanders' offense has been electric. It has been an absolute juggernaut, indefensible unit, like as good as it gets. For what I'm going to say is two games, they've been awesome. For 2.5 games, they've been really, really good. A lot to like. I just think we all need to quote Aaron Rodgers, R-E-L-A-X, just a little bit. I'm not asking you not to get excited in town. You absolutely should. In fact, I want the opposite of not getting excited. I want you to be really fired up.
Mm-hmm.
Go to the game. Watch the game. Throw the party with the buddies coming over to watch that you haven't had watch a game with you in a long, long time. I'm doing all those things in my personal life. Got the kid the jersey. Like, we're doing it. But the idea of where he ranks among quarterbacks, he's the guy I would start my franchise with. Only Patrick Mahomes and three guys ahead of him. You hear it, right? I mean, there is a who can say the thing, the most friendly Jaden Daniels thing, competition going on among all the NFL analysts right now from the 10,000-foot view where they're not watching every single play. They just look at the box score and see he had 4 incompletions and they didn't punt and they're going, oh my God. And that Monday night game is the best thing that could have happened, too.
Yeah, for sure.
Because it was on national TV with the world watching us. So this is the opposite of what we're used to.
So here's where I'm going to try to draw my dividing line. If you'd like to be excited, enjoy yourself. Have fun. I am. I'm excited. I'm having a great time. What I'm not going to do is make a declaration. And I think if I can try to translate for my pal, Grant Harrison Paulson, that's a Hall of Famer from King George, by the way. He's giving away Tootsie Pops in the King George Parade. The distinction for me is excitement, yes. Definitive declaration closing the book, no.
Well, that's obvious, right?
Right? I think that's all it is. Because what the analysts are doing is closing the book. He's the best in the NFC. He's played great to this point. Settle down. But if you're a fan, you'd like to be excited. I got no issue with that.
There's more to it than that. But yeah, that's definitely part of it. Like, what's happening is we are running a marathon, let's say. And Jaden Daniels just got out of the blocks like Noah Lyles.
Yeah, he's leading through a mile and a half.
And he is really far out in front of everyone. And everyone's just like coming out to like hug him and ask for his autograph and stop him. And I'm like, let's let him keep running a little while longer. I don't think it's happening locally necessarily, but we are reacting to some extent to the national stuff. But there's just no benefit to me to throw the party yet is all I'm saying. Why? We can throw the party at the end of the season. By the way, it looks like we're going to need to. It looks like we should. It looks like we should start planning to go to Party City to buy the hats and to buy the napkins and to buy the plates. And if you want to start pricing things out, if you're feeling pretty good like I am about this kid right now and how he's played, he's blown me away. I get it.
Mm-hmm.
But that's different than, you know, Rich Eisen's wearing the hat and blowing the little thing that you have at the party that unravels, you know, and the confetti's coming down. It's just all fast.
What do they call that thing at the party?
I don't know.
You know, like the New Year's thing? It's super loud. Exactly. And extends and then retracts.
Kids love them.
They're quiet, though.
I think the other part of it for me is maybe I'd feel differently if it was four straight games of this. Then I would get it a little bit more. After week one, the Commanders had been destroyed. Their offense didn't look good, and Daniels just ran everywhere. It wasn't a bad performance, but the entire story in town was like, this is not really what we signed up for. This is not what we want. It was his first game, and it's irrelevant. But that was week one. Like, let's not rewrite history here.
Mm-hmm.
Week two, they got sacked five times. He had four sacks in one half of football, was on his way to an 8-sack game before they made some adjustments, and he kicked butt in the second half. They couldn't involve their wide receivers again. It was just a screen fest. And then things changed in the second half of the Giants game, and they beat a bad New York team without a kicker. Again, not a problem. Wasn't upset, but we don't need to rewrite history. The Bengals game was one of the most impressive performances I've ever seen a quarterback. Like, legitimately full stop at any age, any level, any amount of experience. For a rookie, it was, I couldn't wrap my head around it. It was unconscionable. It was amazing. This past week was really good, too. It wasn't on that level. It didn't need to be. But it was just casual and easy and making a bunch of easy throws look easier. And he made the great throw to McCaffrey. There were a few of those. And he scrambled when he should have. And he kept the ball in the pocket when he should have. And he did all the things correctly. It has been back-to-back banner games. It has been a quarter of a season where the numbers speak for themselves. I'm a numbers guy. We've never seen this. But a couple of times, Dak Prescott. I tweeted something today. Like, teams don't get off to these starts with rookie quarterbacks. Danny, by the way, is at Funny Danny. Twitter and Instagram, I'm at Grant H. Paulson. If Washington wins on Sunday against the Browns, they'll be the third team since 1950 to start 4-1 with a rookie quarterback. The 16 Cowboys with Dak and the 73 Bills with a guy named Joe Ferguson.
I remember Joe Ferguson.
Who used to hand the ball to O.J. Simpson. Like, those are the two teams that have ever done this before. The numbers, we've gone through all the superlatives of highest completion percentage ever, and no rookie's done this, or no quarterback's done that. Like, it's amazing. I'm not saying it isn't, but it was Monday into Sunday. That's what it was. That's mm-hmm. all it took. And now we're just all sure. Everyone calm down. There's no race. It's like when my dad used to say, like, I had to do my homework after dinner, I remember. And as fast as I could, I would get through it. And I'd be like, will you check my homework? And like, I'm like waiting for him. He's like, hang on. Like, where are you going? Like, you don't have nothing else to do. And I'm like, I want to go upstairs and watch Jahidi White and the Wizards.
Yeah, I want this to be over so bad, this homework portion of the program.
We're not. This doesn't need to be a race.
Uh-huh.
Let's go to Steve in the Beltway on G&D. What's up, Steve?
Hello.
Hey, buddy.
Yeah, this is Mama Stu. This is not Steve.
Oh, Mom. Oh, okay. It says Stu, not Steve.
That makes more sense now.
I apologize.
Okay.
Do you want to just be Steve for the call, or are you good?
Yeah, you can be Steve if you want.
Mama Steve or no?
No, okay. Mama Stu is better. No, how you doing, guys?
Good. How are you?
Thank you for the call, man. What?
No problem. One of the previous callers kind of hit it on the head, kind of stole my thunder. Like these national pundits, like they, you know, they've had the likes of like, you can go back to like, Roethlisberger, his second year, he was young. And Mahomes, his second year, he was young. You know, Herbert, you know, they've seen these things come out of the gate. And even with them, they jumped on the bandwagon early. So I'm not surprised by this, but I'm with you guys. Like, I love this kid. I love what he's doing. So far, he's done some things that we have not seen from a rookie. And so there is room for optimism and hope, especially for our fan base, for all we have suffered over the last 25 years. But, you know, at the same time, like these guys, you know, they're looking for the next thing. They're always. So, you know, he is the perfect, you know, wagon to jump on at this point.
That's actually a great point, too, mm-hmm. Stu. Thank you for the call. They're looking for the next thing. That's such a good way to put it. But
what I was about to bring up,
remember this for C.J. Stroud last year.
No, because it hadn't happened yet. Because remember, they weren't getting off to gangbuster starts, and they were playing fine. But, like, it wasn't until we looked up after, like, 6, 7, 8, 9 games and went, hey, have you noticed that Houston's way better than everybody thought and this kid's legit and the truth? I mean, because it also, you don't have 100-yard and a touchdown running game. He's got 4 rushing touchdowns.
Really, like, Washington's offense when they talk about it. It's Daniels.
Yeah, because he's scrambling for, you know, 60 yards a game with 4 touchdowns.
That's, like, people cannot help themselves with, like, running quarterbacks.
No, totally.
There is, like, a coolness, like, this sex appeal to it.
To me, it's the perfect storm. Okay, the ingredients that I always talk about, like I'm always bringing this up, but the ingredients to me are pretty simple. Team that was terrible that's now cool, 1, check mark. Quarterback that has unbelievable highlights and runs around, check. And then 3, like your national television performance, and then thing number 4 is the new thing to be excited about. Like nobody's throwing a CJ Stroud party anymore. That's old news. That longtime veteran. Just the second year, he's made 17 starts or whatever.
Last year. 4 games in, C.J. Stroud had thrown for 384, 280, and 306 in his games 2, 3, and 4, okay? He had 6 touchdowns and no picks at this point. He had only been sacked 11 times. It was 8 yards per attempt. He was playing at an elite level 4 games in last year. Monster numbers. I don't remember anything like this.
And whether it's right or not.
And I think it's because he stands in the pocket and throws the football and he doesn't run all over the place.
I think it's because they were 2-2 and people still do that.
That's
right?
Not that different than 3-1 with a squeaker over the Giants.
It is when you're a tourist on the national media scene that looks up and goes, I got a Monday Night Football highlight where he kicked ass and look at these numbers. I'm not saying it's right. I'm saying that's what happened.
We finally got a guy in the cool kids club. And so his incompletion's cooler than everybody else's. Now, I will say, he doesn't throw any incompletions, which helps. Let's go to Bill and Lorton. Hey, Bill, what's up?
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Funny Danny. How y'all doing?
Come in.
Yeah, I'm super excited about the Commanders, Jaden Daniels, what Cliff Kingsbury's doing and all that. But it's too much too fast, Grant. We're not even 8 or 9 games in the season, and Jaden hadn't seen a lot of defenses. We're going to see the Ravens, we'll see Steelers. Let's pump the brakes for a minute. Okay, fellas?
It's special what we're seeing. Mm-hmm. It's hard not to get over our skis, and I understand that. But really, for me, it's less about the fan reaction. I don't think the fans I honestly think the fans have been even more reasonable than I could have expected. I'm talking about more national media mm-hmm. narratives and stuff.
Yeah.
But I think Stu made a good point, or Mama Stu.
Mama Stu, thank you.
Mama Stu made a good point. Like they're looking for the next thing.
Always.
They're selling you the next thing out the window of like, here's why you got to watch us, because we've got the Jaden Daniels breakdown, and they're on to the next. But I ask, where was this for Stroud at this point? When he had, I would say, maybe the Ravens game against an elite defense in week 1 wasn't that good. I'd have to look that up.
Because they started 0-2. Then it wasn't until weeks 5 or 6. I remember. I don't remember exactly the week, but it was like, hey, wait a minute. Have we noticed that Houston's actually pretty good and he's good?
But He was already awesome. Like, they weren't winning. Fine. They were 2-2. He had not thrown a pick as a rookie quarterback, throwing 40 times a game, and was one of the leading passers. I think he was leading the NFL in passing yards, and was at 6-0 touchdowns to picks. And it was just kind of like, oh, and C.J. Stroud's playing well. He was the number 2 overall pick also. 800-636-1067. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Here's another way to put it. Welcome back, Grant and Danny. I've been workshopping this. I think we're just at a point in sports media, in analysis, in giving the take, where we can't say Daniels is doing an incredible job reading everything out. Daniels is playing awesome ball. Daniels has done this exceptionally without then, like, whatever the conclusion is. Like, I always say this with our show sometimes. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I do these prerequisites to a conversation or these qualifiers where I'm going, just because I'm giving you these opinions on a player does not mean I don't like the player.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I watch a Nats game and a guy was 0-4 with 3 strikeouts and he got picked off first base and he had a miscue in the field and I'm crushing him, you might hear that and go, oh, you don't think that guy's very good. No, I just am now analyzing his game or his week or his month. And I think we're at a point where, and I do this all the time too, we all do. I'm not suggesting I'm above this. None of us are. But we're just to, you hop from that to the next lily pad, which is, this is what somebody is. Rather than saying, we've seen a month of football. And by the way, about half of that is what we're all really, really excited about 2 games of football. So we just jump to the next thing. So if everyone was just heaping all the praise and saying how great he's been and going through all the superlatives and reading off all the stats, I don't think I'd have any issue. It's the, he's the best in the NFC, where I hear that and I go, oh my God, what is happening? Or I don't know if I would take C.J. Stroud over him. What are you talking about? One of them might be better than the other in Daniels. The other is put him in Sharpie, legit a top 7 or so quarterback in the NFL moving forward, period.
I learned my lesson on this a long time ago when Aaron Rodgers had dealt with some concussion stuff. If you recall, they now put that in the rearview mirror and has turned into a pretty good career after this. But I remember at the height of Griffin mania, after the Minnesota game or some kind of thing, I don't remember, you know, whatever the moment was, that was just incredible. Maybe it was after Thanksgiving when I was just riding a high, having eaten so many carbohydrates and stuffing, and they beat the hell out of the Cowboys. Would you trade Griffin for Aaron Rodgers? I said no. 7 Pro Bowls, 3 MVPs later. I think I probably would make that deal. But at the time, I was so caught up in that mania. I understand that pathology, but now I've got a little more experience. Now I've kind of learned. All I know right now is I'm having a blast. I'm going to continue to do that until the ride's over, and then I'll get off and figure out where I'm going next to Disneyland. But at this moment, this is great. This is fun. I'm dreaming of what's possible again. But it's the gavel-slamming definitives that I'm kind of going, it feels a little premature.
It just makes me nervous. Isn't the right word. It's just like unnecessary. Am I making sense at all?
Yeah.
With kind of why it's annoying to me a little bit. I feel like
I think it's the general 24/7 news cycle manifesting itself in this way.
It, like, is way more national than local too, I will say.
Yeah, it's the we have to have the definitive take. We have to have the. We can't just go, he's having a great season. It has to be the greatest. It has to be the better than everybody else's season. There's no more season that could possibly happen until the next one happens.
And what's the flip side of that? Like, he plays a disappointing game against the Browns. He gets sacked, fumbled, throws a pick. You know, they punt, God forbid, like 4 times. They actually punt or something. And now what's the conversation? You just, everyone changes their take? Like, no, those 2 games were still remarkable. Let's go to Ryan and Clifton on the Fan. Hey, man.
Hey guys, so speaking of 2 baseball nerds as you guys are, I think you'll appreciate the concept of regressing to the mean.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we don't know what Jaden Daniels' mean is yet, but is his is his trajectory going to carry forward where he's the most accurate passer in NFL history? Probably not, right? And so I think I agree with the other callers. Like, let's slow it down. Let's calm down on the he's the greatest quarterback in the NFL now. And let's understand that he's going to have some games where he gets sacked four or five times. He's going to have a two or three pick game coming down the road. That doesn't change the fact that he's good and that he's better than most people have expected so far. But, we need to find out where the mean is for Jaden Daniels over time versus and expecting that this trajectory is going to carry forward.
So it's a really, really good
love
call
the way you put that.
And some smart points.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to use one of his points, though, to make two quick ones. He said, is he going to be the most accurate passer ever and lead the league in completion percentage this year? Probably not. And to that, I would say two things. One, maybe he does, okay? But there's a lack of context to suggest that how they're operating their offense is to throw the ball at the line of scrimmage at a really, really high rate beyond what is normal. I don't dislike this, for the record, just acknowledging. At a clip right now where 73% of his passes are expected to be complete out of his hands. 73%. There are guys in the league with an expected completion percentage that are like 55%. They're just making longer throws or different throws or more complex, lower percentage chance throws, whatever. So if he does lead the league in completion percentage all time, which I don't know that he will, I guess my point is that needs to be contextualized in some sense. Also, if they're going to continue to throw it around the line of scrimmage, does that catch up to them? Do teams start playing at the line of scrimmage? And is that one of the reasons why the offense slows down in 3 weeks? Like, these are all things that should be a part of the conversation. Now, completion percentage in general is just not a stat I care that much about for this reason. I think it can be misleading. I care about CPOE, which he's second in the NFL in. Oh, by the way, he's 9% over the expected completion percentage out of his hand at 82%, which means he's been awesome. But that's a stat I care a lot more about because, Danny, you could complete 100% of your passes next week with Kingsbury if they just throw a bunch of swing screens. Grant and Danny here on The Fan.
Yeah, the completion percentage matters to me as long as the context you're talking about is. So, in other words, this isn't a good example, but bear with me. I'm just thinking of someone that has a huge air yards per attempt. If Anthony Richardson was completing 70% of his passes, I'd go, this is the greatest quarterback season we've ever seen because he's risking the ball, throwing it down the field, completing every pass. He's not. Of course, his completion percentage is terrible, but he throws the ball further down the field than anybody else. Pat Mahomes has an intended air yards per pass attempts of 5.6, the fewest in football right now.
Yep.
Tells you what they're doing and how they're doing it. Then you add in, you see what Daniels is doing and Mayfield and Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson. All these guys, the league at this point is throw it close to the line of scrimmage because defenses are taking away deep shots more often than not. So completion percentage matters relative to what everyone else is doing. There are more sevens in front of completion percentage numbers. Then again, it's only for 4 weeks, things will equalize, that I can never remember. It used to be if you weren't at 60, you were a bum. Now it's if you're not at 70, what are you even doing?
I saw a heat map yesterday from some analytics site where defensive players line up now versus over the years. And it's just like red for like heat, right? For like the number of bodies. And it's just so different. Now they're all further back where they used to be all at the line of scrimmage. Uh-huh. So yeah, it's all part of it. But also, like, I want to get back to that. None of this really matters as long if they're moving the ball and scoring points and not punting, then none of this matters. I think we're operating on the premise that this is not going to sustain itself where they never punt and they score on every drive. And then you start kind of picking more nits. Let's go to Joe and Ashburn on G&D. What's up, Joe?
Gentlemen, how you doing today?
Good, dude.
I'll tell you, I'm so excited, but I'm also looking over my shoulder because the national media loves to build them up so they can tear him down later on.
Yep.
And I fear that's what they're going to try to do. We had this issue with Brad Johnson when the ownership brought in Jeff George, the locker room cancer, and that destroyed that franchise guy. You had RG3 trying to run an offense that nobody knew how to run, or at least the Redskins didn't at the time. And you had Alex Smith, where we lost a couple offensive linemen, then we lost him, then we lost another quarterback, and we lost another. So my question is, do we have the depth in the offensive line so that we can absorb the injuries of the big guys because they're keeping him in the pocket with very little pressure, and every single one of those receivers is also catching the ball. They're keeping it off the carpet. If it hits them in the hands, they're bringing it in. And that we haven't seen. There haven't been this string of just drop balls. And, of course, the running game's great.
It is. But I want to give him the credit that he is the straw that stirs the drink. The running game is great mostly because of him. And the line is better mostly because of him making them right with his feet. Not to say they're not playing well. They are. The receivers are really good and haven't dropped passes and been very efficient, but I think he's making their life easier. Occasionally they get wide open because he's moving around and extending. So yeah, he is a product of a really healthy, good situation right now, but he's making all those guys a lot easier. You know, their lives are easier. Their jobs are easier because of what he provides. But I think it's a good phone call. 800-636-1067 if you want to hop in. Do you feel like the national media heaping its praise, you know, listing Daniels now as one of the top quarterbacks already in the NFL, is warranted and reasonable and a non-issue, or do you think it just seems aggressive and a little too quick after a couple of banner performances by this Commanders offense and by Jaden Daniels? Also, I want to get you up to date on everything going on in playoff baseball before we get out of here. It's been another epic day on the diamond. You're listening to Grant and Danny on the Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
It's time for Pitch Hit and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Give the kids in your community a chance to flex their superpowers, and they could earn a trip to the national finals at the 2025 World Series presented by Capital One. So go ahead, be the one who powers their dreams, and sign up to host the local Pitch Hit and Run event. It's a free and fun way to promote baseball, softball, and your organization. To learn more, go to pitchhitrun.com.